Like that, could you really? So why didn't he? Why didn't he do it that way? Why did he only go and show himself and communicate with his followers, his immediate ones? You might have heard that we went on a cruise. I told you how many sermons I could get out of my holiday, and this is number two. for those of us who have been on cruises, we remember every evening you get some sort of show, some sort of entertainment. And our favourite, one of the favourites we had anyway, was a magic show. We had a conjurer. Fantastic. Wonderful thing. Amazing things he did. You couldn't believe the sort of stunts he pulled and the things that he got away with. One trick I particularly remember was one where he called a member of the audience out onto the stage, and there's, you know the usual trick where they have to choose a card, and they chose a card, and then she had to write her name on the card, and of course he put it back in the pack, and then he told her that he got his bow and arrow out, and said, when you throw these cards up in the air, I'll shoot the arrow through the card you've selected. So he said, so she got her to throw the cards in the air, but as she threw them up and they landed all over the stage, he said, throw them when I count to three. So now all the cards were lying on the stage. But at the beginning of his act, before he'd got this particular trick going, he'd given a little box to a member of the audience and got this member of the audience to come up every so often and say, my name is John, just to remind us that he'd got this box. And of course, at the end of this particular trick, he got John to stand up and pass him the box. And of course, the playing card was in the box. Fantastic trick. How did he do it? How did he do that? I don't know how you remember when David Jenkins was Bishop of Durham in the 1980s. He said, got himself in a lot of trouble for it as well. If he was very controversial, was David Jenkins. He said that the resurrection isn't a conjuring trick with bones. And of course, if people hadn't have believed Jesus during his lifetime, then surely the leaders of the people and the Romans and everybody with authority would have said, it was just a trick. He wasn't actually dead. They got him down off the cross before he died. Or they could have said, it was his double, wasn't it? It wasn't really him. He's got a double and he's playing a trick on us. In some way, if people had not believed him during his ministry, when they'd seen all the mighty things he'd done, when they'd heard his teaching, when they'd seen his miracles, when they'd seen the healings, when he'd done all of that, when they'd seen that he wasn't going to be a military Messiah, as the people, when he saw all of that, if then they still didn't believe, what was the point? During the Easter holiday, we had two of our grandchildren up, Ellie and George, the ones who live in Brighton. And of course, you've got to do something. One night we always have a movie night when the grandkids are here. You know, get everybody on the sofa, bags of popcorn, and sitting all together and watch a movie. And we chose to watch the animated version of The Magician's Nephew. I don't know whether you know this particular story, very famous story, The Magician's Nephew. Basically, if you don't know, it's set in a town that was once happy and joyful and colourful and a really wonderful place to live, but then it went through a war. And the casualties through the war were so great, so enormous, that the people lost all sort of hope. They lost faith. Life was no longer worth living. The whole town was cast into gloom and darkness and dullness because people no longer had any hope, had no longer any faith, had no longer any belief in anything. And so when a magician came to town and put on a magic show, all of his tricks failed because they didn't believe anything. They didn't believe he could do anything. They didn't believe anything if he tried to. So his final trick, he got a woman up onto the stage, and his plan was to conjure up a bouquet of flowers. But instead, he conjured up an elephant, which landed on top of her. Hence, the film was, the story is called The Magician's Elephant. It was a disaster. They put him in prison. They put the elephant in chains. It was a tragedy. The central character in the story was a little boy who had been orphaned during this terrible war that took place, and he was told that he lost his mother and his baby sister in the course of the war. But he had some belief that she was still alive. And he went to a fortune teller who told him he would find his sister if he would only follow the elephant. And so when he learned that the elephant had come to the town, he believed that this was going to be the way he would find his lost sister. But the elephant was in chains, and who was he? And he bargained that if he could do three impossible things, he could win the elephant. And of course, because he had faith, because he had hope, because he had belief, he was able to do three impossible things and won the elephant. And when the people saw that this boy had some faith, when this boy had some hope, when this boy had some love, they started to believe that things were possible too. And at the end of the story, the magician, who couldn't do anything, was let out of prison. And because the people now had faith, he was able to do the most amazing and possible thing of being able to return the elephant from whence it had come to be back with its family too. Happy ending. Because there was hope and faith and belief, he was able to do something positive. And that's where I think we come at the resurrection of Jesus, from the basis of faith and hope and belief, because those first disciples had believed in Jesus. They had started to follow him on the way. They'd seen the things he'd done. They'd seen the wonderful things. And they began to have, but even they found it difficult to believe. We heard the story of Peter. We heard the story of Mary. We've heard the story of doubting Thomas. Today we've heard the story of the road to Emmaus, where they couldn't believe, even though he was standing alongside them walking, they still couldn't see him, because they, it was such an impossible and amazing thing to believe. And so it took them time to begin to have some belief that it was a possibility. He had to appear to those who had the beginnings of faith, so that they had their minds open to the possibility of God. Because the resurrection was such a world-changing event, a changing event which demonstrated the power of God over despair, over hopelessness, over evil, and even over death. And it was a message that God was inaugurating a new world order, a new order where instead of despair and hopelessness and death, there is faith, and there is hope, and there is love. And that was a message which it took time to sink in to those first disciples. And then it was no longer Jesus who got to give that message. They were the people who were going to take that message out from Jerusalem, out to the then all parts of the then known world. They were the people filled with faith and hope and love, who were going now to communicate the message of what God was doing for the world through Jesus Christ, made real in his resurrection, that the new world was possible through Jesus, based on faith and hope and love. And that's our task too. That continues to be our task as Christian people, to take forward with faith and hope and love the message of Jesus, the one who brought into the world the new way of living under God, and through his resurrection demonstrated that the power of God is greater, is the greatest force of all. For the greatest force of all is faith and hope and love. May God bless us all.